Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
God bless you all. I sense we're in for a great time, okay? And listen, so get ready. I'm going to be doing a combination of preaching and teaching. And the reason I'm telling you this is so that you will know the proper response that what I am doing should elicit. So when I am preaching, it means it's a stirring prophetic word. And when it's a stirring prophetic word, there is a kind of response. The Bible says that the word was preached to the Jews, but it was not mixed with faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there is a way you shake yourself for the word of God to settle in. Just the same way you want to stir a drink or you do something like this, and there is a response to a prophetic word. So at any point in the service, you hear a word that is for you, shout and rejoice and receive it. Say loud, amen. Amen. Let us rehearse. Shout glory! Yeah. This is that type of service. Get ready. And then at some point, I'm going to switch and wear the heart of a teacher. All right? And that will elicit attentiveness. So now you're going to pay rapt attention, follow through with the evidence in the scripture, and just open your heart. Come on, are you ready? So at every point, you're going to discern the switch and you're going to know how to respond. This is so important. I'm going to start with a prophetic stare. Something that you already know, but something that you need to, that needs to be established in your heart. You see, I've said it time and again that many times the word that you need to change your life is a word you already know, but you have despised. So the text I'm about to read to you, I know you know it, but I want it to be a present word. Something that you can war with. A lot of people don't know how to war with the word of God. And this is that type of service where what you receive, you can war with it next tomorrow. You can war with it next month. Listen, so I want you to get ready. Are you ready for this? I hope it blesses you as much as it blessed me. Romans chapter 8 verse 28. Romans chapter 8 verse 28. Come on, are you ready? Read together with me. 1, 2, go. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. Everybody read again together. 1, 2, go. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called. Listen, he's talking about those who love God, those who are the called. Do you know any such person? Is any such person in this place? Well, he says, we know. If you are such a person, then this should be your mentality. And it's amazing that he talks like this. What informed this conclusion? What birthed this audacity to say we know? Listen, if he was talking to some pastors, we could say that he's talking to people of elite spirituality. But he's talking to a church. He's talking to the Jews. So it's a corporate acknowledgement. It's a corporate consensus. We know. Rehearse it with me. Say, we know. So just imagine, for instance, in Nigeria, there are some things that we know. There are some things that if foreigners came to Lagos or came to Abuja, it would be a culture shock. But we know. For instance, if you were having fun, there was light, you were watching TV, and rain started falling. We know. What do you know? They would take light. I don't know whether electricity is powered by solar. What is the connection? Why did he have to take light? We don't know, but we know. Come on, are you with me? Now he's talking to the Jews. It means from our experience, this is something that we have come to have as a conviction. We know that all things work together for good. When we look back at our history, we can find critical moments where we have proven this to be true. Let me tell you something interesting. I was listening to a Hebrew scholar and he said something. I said, no, I have to fact check that. Can it be true? I checked it. It was true. He said, in the Hebrew word, there is no word for coincidence. And I checked it. It is true. To describe coincidence, you have to use two words, mash it up together. And even those words don't mean coincidence literally. It means things that come together for a grand result. There is no word. So you see, providence was so entrenched in their culture, there was no word for coincidence. They can't see anything as a coincidence because we know. Are you listening to this? Tell the person by the side, say, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Say, listen, put your name. Say, all things work together for good for Emmanuel Iren. I want you to say it and mean it. All things work together, good and bad, they turn out good. Good and bad, they turn out good. Come on, are you with me? This is quite a mentality to have. That this is your conviction. We know. Meaning, when you face anything in life, you respond with this mentality. I know. So what happens, for instance, when someone you love dearly dies? Listen, that's not a good thing, but it can turn out for good. Are you listening to me? It's a mentality. Oh my God, I know it's easier said than done. When it's Mother's Day and everyone is celebrating their mother and your mom is no longer here, but we know. Come on, are you with me? It can be painful, but it can turn out good. You serve a God who knows how to call out light from darkness. Say again, say, I know. When you expected that job and it didn't come, I know. When that guy had been on your case, telling you, I love you, I like you, and everything, and suddenly he ghosted, I know. Say it louder, say, I know. When he served you hot breakfast, hot, I still know. Say it louder, say, I know. You know, something happened years ago. There was one guy, very handsome, good job and everything. He asked the lady out, and the lady said, oh, I'm not ready. I'm in my mind, I made the mistake of Eliab. I was saying, how can this lady miss such an opportunity? Fine guy, good job, church goer. Why would she do that? But when the guy eventually engaged someone else and began to show the person shaggy, I said, wow. Sometimes you are angry, not knowing that you dodged a bullet. God is saving your life. Listen, and sometimes you may never realize there are some things you will discover only in heaven. God saved your life. You were begging God not to, but he did. I know. Listen, I want this to well up a dimension of trust in your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? All things work together for good for Emmanuel Iren. Everybody say that about yourself. Want to go? Oh, you don't sound convinced. Say it again. I'll give you an example. You see, there is a story in the Bible I never really understood. Why would God do this to Abraham? This man had been trusting for a child for decades, about 25 years. Trusted you. Even you acknowledge that he staggered not at your promise through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to you. Eventually, you gave him a child. And then you say, take that child, that very one you love. Listen, he was even specific, because if it was Ishmael, Abraham might not have minded. He said, come on, come in. Take that child whom you love, give him to me. Why is God doing this? But that was not even the major mystery to me. Now, I explained that the first time I taught Jairus. So if you want context in that, go study it. And I'm even going to throw more light on that in this service. But the focus is Abraham. Yeah, God said that. And without even taking time to argue, first thing the next morning, you're on your journey, on your way to the mountain. What kind of mentality? What is going on here? The writer of Hebrews explained why. And listen, this changed my life. God did not tell Abraham anything. I am letting you know Abraham's mentality, his conviction. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Hebrews 11, 17. Look at this. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He says, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Verse 18. He says, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Listen, God told him, Abraham, God told Abraham, in Isaac shall your seed be called. Abraham is already old. This is the only proof, the only way to extend his lineage. And now you're saying I should give him to you. The writer of Hebrews is first reminding you, this is the Isaac of whom it was said, in Isaac shall your seed be called. That's the one you want to take. Verse 19. This was Abraham's mentality. The Bible says he concluded that God was able to raise him up. Hey, my God, you're not listening to this. God didn't tell him this. God didn't tell him this. This was Abraham's mentality. That if God wants to take Isaac, it is because he wants to raise him up. Listen, I would rather believe that than believe that God has changed his mind. He came up with this mentality. You must have the mentality that all things work together for good to come up with this conclusion on your own. I am telling you, there is a type of mentality that will condition you, program you to see good coming out of bad. That even if God did not say so, listen, what if you had this mentality? If God allowed the business die, it's because he wants to raise up a bigger one. That if God allowed my auntie get sick, it's because he wants to heal her and demonstrate his healing power to the world. Listen, this is a conclusion of someone who knows that all things work together for good. He came up with the conclusion on his own. On his own. God bless you. If God said in Isaac shall your seed be called, and the same God is asking for Isaac, it's because he plans to raise him up. See, because God said, in Isaac shall your seed be called. And God's word cannot fail. And God is asking me to sacrifice the same Isaac. So I am making a reconciliation of both truths in my mind. Because Isaac must live. And God is saying, give him to me. Therefore, God wants to raise him up. Father of faith for a reason. He concluded this on his own. He knew God's word can't fall to the ground. As at the time, nobody in the Bible has been raised from the dead. Nobody. No precedence. But he just believed God. Let me take a moment to prophesy. If it died, it's coming back alive. If it ended, it means a bigger and better one is coming. For that door that was shut, 7 bigger ones are open. For we know, Ebalero temane asute kapale runde rekapaya. For we know that all things work together for good. For Tosi, for Paula, for Emmanuel, hey, for Gigi, all things work together for good. Please be seated. Do you realize that sometimes that's why God allows you to go through adversity? God allows you to go through adversity. Because sometimes the comfort is your problem. You can have a strong entrepreneurial grace, but the comfort of the 9-to-5 will not allow you to see road. And that's why that covering that had made people not to notice your weaknesses, God lifts it. You're going to work. They are complaining all the time. Complaining. You're wondering in the same office, what changed? Until they sack you. When they sack you, your entrepreneurial genius will now come alive. And you will build something that will be celebrated for all eternity. I am telling you something. For instance, let me give you an example. When Jesus was raised from the dead, what did he tell the disciples? Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. What did they do? They all camped in Jerusalem. All of them. All the apostles were in Jerusalem until persecution started. Since you don't want to obey the word, persecution will drive you around the world. That's what happened. That's what happened. It doesn't mean it's good. I am saying, in spite of the bad, God can bring out good. Are you getting what I'm saying? Persecution is not the will of God, but God can work in spite of the wickedness of men to still make sure that he sponsors his own plan. That's the meaning of Jireh. It doesn't mean God will provide. That's petty. It's bigger than that. Jireh means the providential God. Listen, that when you got to a point and you discovered you had a need, you discovered that the provision was already waiting ahead of time. Are you listening to this? It's deeper than that. It means that as Abraham was climbing the mountain from this side, the goat was climbing from the other side. He just didn't see it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And they met at the top at the same time, and the goat was trapped. Do you know a goat? You want to trap a goat? How was the goat quiet the whole time? The providential God. The God who, listen, all you will need in the next 5 years, he has already provided. It is the mentality where you say, I know. All things work together for good. Maybe you don't know who my God is. Let me introduce him to you. He is Alpha and Omega. He is in my past. He's in my present. He's in my future. At the same time. This is how come I can go into tomorrow with confidence. Not knowing tomorrow, but knowing who holds tomorrow. I know that all things work together for good. I called him this morning and I got the permission to share. One of the people I've been privileged to disciple right from school days. The founder of Thrive Agric. When he told me the story, I never really saw it with a bird's eye view. All I knew is this. This guy from a moderate, simple home in Benue State. His parents went out of the way, sent him to a private school. It must have cost them a lot. But you know when you just think, okay, this is an investment into our future. Let me give him a life we never had so that he can take care of all of us. So they gathered money, they sent him to school and all of that. Throughout school, nothing wrong. He was healthy, hale, hearty. Then he graduated. Few months after, he fell sick. At that time, one of his kidneys packed up. Are you listening to me? And he was in an ambulance in front. I was driving my car the back, speaking in tongues, following and wondering, God, what kind of arrow is this? What kind of nonsense is this? Someone who loves the Lord, serves in church, is faithful, is doing, what is going on? I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. I prayed for him. There are many times, especially that same kidney. Let me start sharing testimony. Especially that same kidney. Listen, even if one was cut off, another one can grow back. I've seen God in many different ways. But I prayed for him and he wasn't getting better. God, what is going on? And now this boy who finished school with great enthusiasm, he was already sending proposals. He was staying in my house. So I know, writing proposals, you know, and all of that. He had to return back to Benue State. Just imagine. Because he was sick. But then, listen to this. In Benue State, he will come out and he will see farmers. He observed their way of life. He discovered these people, they knew how to farm, but they didn't have the intelligence and the solutions to take their business around the nation. So he noticed between the time that they have their crops to storing it, to transporting it, there were a lot of gaps. I beg your pardon. Excuse that grammar. Hey, don't do it. And so he came up with a tech solution that birthed the company we all celebrate today. Listen, if he did not get sick, he would not have gone to Benue State. If he didn't go to Benue State, he wouldn't have seen the farmers. That idea would not have come. Are you listening to me? He would have been in Lagos, maybe working in a bank. They would have given him a car that he must pay back in 10 years. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. But listen, we know. When he was sick, he probably didn't know that God had something bigger. But I'm training you now so that in all things, no matter the circumstance, we know ahead of time. It's a public corporate consensus. Tell the person by the side, say we know. This is something we all know. Oh, you don't know? We always win. You were not informed? I never lose. It's not over until I win. You didn't know? Oh, Matakabaya. I give you 10 seconds. Speak in tongues. In Jesus' mighty name. Say again. Look at me. Say all things. Bad and good. Walk together for good. It will always end in good. Let me tell you something. What if I told you God factors in your frailties, your mistakes, as long as you are still yielded to Him? You have not cast off virtuous restraints. It's not like you are in constant disobedience. It will all end for His glory. Did you hear what I said? Let me give you one example. When you look at the life of Jonah, you see one blemish. There was a time where this man of God disobeyed God. God said, go to Nineveh. He went to Tarshish. Isn't that true? And because of that, as what you will interpret as the judgment of God, a fish swallowed him. But guess what? Several centuries later, Jesus said, no sign shall be given to you but for the sign of Jonah. Meaning when you look at the Old Testament, one of the biggest prophetic symbols that Christ will die for 3 days and rise again was Jonah in the belly of the fish. So the error in Jonah's ministry became a prophetic picture. You're not listening to me. Are you listening to me? Of all that he did in his life, of all the great sermons that he preached, the only thing that pointed to Christ was his mistake. The only thing that pointed to Christ was his error. All things work together for good. That, listen, in your young adolescence, ignorant state, you made mistakes, but out of that those mistakes, God births a ministry in such a way that you are now qualified to talk on some issues greater than some others. There are some sermons I cannot preach. There are some sermons that some people cannot preach. If they preach, the people will say, you don't understand. But when Paul, everybody knew him, the one that was persecuting the church, now Paul is holding a mic and preaching, he can say, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance. Christ died for sinners, of whom I am chief. Do you understand what I'm saying? He can preach and say, my former devotion, you all knew. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? All things work together for good. I'll tell you one more thing you never realized. I remember when I was studying the genealogy of Jesus, I said, this can't be right. I saw something that seems strange. Do you know that Christ came through the lineage of Bathsheba? Of all the wives that David had, it was through Bathsheba. It was through Bathsheba. because all things. So in David's life, his biggest contribution to the gospel came out of his mistake. Did you hear what I just said? His biggest contribution came out of his mistake. All things work together for good. Maybe if some ladies know that, they won't take out that child. This consciousness will save many abortions. You know, you're like, oh, I wasn't ready. Oh, the circumstances, I made a mistake. It doesn't make the child a mistake. Are you listening to me? And if it has happened before, I'm not judging you. I'm giving you a new conviction for the future. Say loud, amen. Amen. What if in the next 20 years, that child will be the richest man in the world? You know, if you knew that ahead of time, your view will change instantly. Instantly. You just say, just 20 years. I will wait now. I don't have food to feed him. I will hustle now. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. What I'm saying, we don't always know it as we should. In the present, it's always difficult. But we know. This is why we're learning the word of God. Help me nudge the person by the side gently. Say, we know. We know now. You know now. You know now. But help me preach the person. You know you're coming out of that problem. Say, you know you will come out bigger and better. So the teaching part of this sermon will satisfy one of two objectives I have for preaching this. Number one, to show you that the Old Testament is replete with prophecies about Christ. That is my first objective. And then I want to show you from that, helping you see the intentionality of God in salvation and by extension, in your personal life. You know what the Bible says? It says, he that spared not his son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? It means from the intentionality of God in Christ, we can see his commitment even to the smaller aspects of our life. Say aloud, amen. Amen. I mean, just think about the prophecies that surrounded Christ's coming. Everything from beginning to end was covered by prophecy. Are you aware? The Bible says, in the volume of the books, it is written, lo, I come to do your will, O God. Meaning, there is a kind of confidence you will have on the earth, knowing it was all prophesied. It was all prophesied. Everything I do is part of the plan. What if you believe that? What if you trust God with your life that way? That, let me tell you this. Some wise men from the east, they were Igbo guys. I'm just playing. They're not Igbo guys. They came to Herod, having followed a star. And they said, where is he that should be born king of the Jews? So now, Herod doesn't know who they're talking about. So he calls the high priests. And the high priests, they look for Christ in the scriptures. Because according to prophecy, it was prophesied where he'll be born. The level of the detail, the intentionality. I've told you this before. Are you aware that a census of that nature had never been done? For some reason, Pilate just woke up and said, let us count everybody and let everyone come to Bethlehem. That's why there was no room in the inns. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the pagan king did not know that he was taking that initiative so that the fulfillment of the prophecy that the Messiah will be born there. Are you getting what I'm saying? I am telling you, even government policies can work together for your good. Mary got pregnant when it was almost getting to 9 months. The funny thing is, it seemed like an original idea. He just said, census, let's count everybody. Maybe you don't know who God is. It seemed like an original idea. Let's count everybody. Everybody come to Bethlehem. And so the high priests, they went to Micah chapter 5 verse 2, which was a prophecy about where Christ will be born, in Bethlehem. And so the high priest said it will be in Bethlehem, and they were right. Think about that. Without GPS, without scouts looking for the house, just by following the prophecy, they found where Christ was born. That's the faithfulness of God. Are you listening to this? And so, after that, the Bible says that it might be fulfilled. So, when you study the book of Matthew carefully, you discover you are not just seeing the story of Jesus. You are seeing how everything was according to prophecy. When Mary took in being a virgin, the Bible says that it might be fulfilled. Isaiah 7:14, I show you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. All of this was in fulfillment of prophecy. Every detail of his life was prophesied, that he will work miracles, that he will raise disciples, that he would be betrayed. For how much you'll be betrayed? It was prophesied specifically. I think we should read some of it. I just want to stir up your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, some young people, for no reason, they just begin to think about the future and they are afraid. A secondary school lady can be afraid that she may never have children. You don't even have a man. But what if you knew who holds tomorrow? The level of details in the prophetic planning of Jesus' life can give you the guarantee you need. Let's look at some scriptures now. Can I bore you for a few seconds? So in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, it was prophesied he'll be born of a virgin. In Micah chapter 5 verse 2, it was prophesied he'll be born in Bethlehem. In Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, it was prophesied he'll be a descendant of Abraham. Verse 7. In Hosea chapter 11 verse 1, it was prophesied he will come out of Egypt. In Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3, it was prophesied that someone will come before him preparing the way. In Isaiah chapter 35 verse 5 and 6, it was prophesied that he will perform great miracles. In Isaiah chapter 8 verse 14, it was prophesied that he will be rejected by the rulers of the people. In Zechariah chapter 11 verse 12, it was prophesied that he will be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Let me tell you something. Has it ever happened you had a close friend and the friendship just ended? You know that can hurt, right? As a friendship ended and it hurt you like a divorce. What if God factored that in also? Are you listening to me? What if God factored that in? It was prophesied you'll be betrayed. It can be part of the prophecy. If you knew that, you would cheer up. If you knew that, betrayal will lose the power to end you, to make you lose sleep. It's part of it. It's part of the prophecy. I'm trying to teach you how to trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Not the person by the side. Say, trust God. In Micah chapter 5 verse 1, Isaiah chapter 50 verse 6, it was prophesied he'll be smitten. This is the Messiah that we're talking about. But they will beat him up. It was part of prophecy. It was not a disadvantage. It was part of the plan. You know what? When they were praying in the early church, they said the determinate council gathered together to do what your hand had determined before time to be done. They didn't know that if God did not allow it, it would never have happened. Are you listening to me? And if God allowed it, it means greater will come out of it. If they had known, they would not have crucified. Oh, Jesus. What if you believe this in your own life? If they had known. Are you listening to me? And even at a time where crucifixion did not exist, that mode of execution had not yet been created, David prophesied, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you far from hearing me? He says, wolves gather around me. They have pierced my hands and feet. At a time where crucifixion did not even exist. Isaiah also prophesied that he will die. You know, a lot of people don't understand this. When Jesus was on the cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some Muslims say, well, you see, he's not God. He's calling out to God. Don't you understand? He was quoting David so that people will know the Messiah that David spoke about. This is him. He was quoting the scriptures. Just imagine. Oh, are you with me? Put on your thinking caps. Are you ready for this? If you get this, it will bless you. Imagine you are on the cross and you are quoting a scripture to let them know even this, what you call a disadvantage, is part of the plan. That on the cross, he's letting them know this is what he's quoting the scripture to let them know if you had known, don't you know David spoke about this? My God, say it loud, say, for we know. Come on, you ought to say it with more conviction than that. Say, for we know. So you see, there is something to learn about the confidence of Jesus. It takes confidence. It takes trust in God. Even if you knew it was part of the plan, that if you die, you will rise up. It takes confidence to go through with the plan. Why did he do that? For you will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will you suffer your Holy One to see decay, to see corruption. David prophesied it also. So with confidence. Now, you know what he said after? Please look for that psalm for me. I'm going to show it now. You know what he said? He said, because of this, my soul will rest in hope. Oh my God, you need to read the Bible. The Bible is too beautiful. He said, you will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will you suffer your Holy One to see what? Corruption. Look at the next verse. Everyone, read together, want to go. Thou will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand. Isn't that where he rose to? So imagine you are going through trials and you have that same mindset. You have the biblical liberty to see this way, because he that spared not his son, are you with me? How shall he not also? It means that from the suffering of Christ, there should be a present application. If I'm going through this trial, you will not suffer your Holy One to see it. It can't end me. It can't end me. And the psalmist said, now my soul will rest in hope. That you are going through trials and tribulations, you don't know how God will get the glory out of it, but you know there is always a way out. Now, let me tell you this. Are you ready for this? It's going to blow your mind. Back to the story of Abraham. Do you know that Bible scholars say that the exact mountain on which he was to offer Isaac, that was this exact hill that Christ was crucified? That God wanted to show the world what it will mean to give your own son for God to love the world. That he gave his only begotten son. So now, when you are protesting about God asking Abraham to sacrifice his son, he's saying, oh, now you get it. Now you get it. Now you can relate. For God to love the world. When Jesus was on the cross, God couldn't take it. He had to turn his back. Turn his back on his own beloved son. It was to that Jesus cried out, Eloi, Eloi! Lamak sabachthani. So now you get it. So now, there are two instances in the Bible that point to the redemptive work of Christ. One was a mistake, Jonah. The other one was a trying time. Both of them, God was working in those situations for good. What story is God telling through your life? What story? If I give God my lifetime, He will take care of me. He will never ever let me down. I will give God. Can I give you a prophetic moment to say, God, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my life. Praise Him and say, I trust you. I don't understand it all the time, but I trust you. And just thank Him. Thank Him for His faithfulness in your life. For all the things that you might have ignored. Make this moment count. This is a prophetic moment. Do it as if you were standing before the Lord, kneeling before the Lord, and He's waiting to hear you. Make this moment count. I will be content in every circumstance. Here you are. Say, I will be content in every circumstance. You are. You are enough. It's an old song. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord. Whatever I am now, it is by your grace. Many are dying, many are perishing. Whatever I am now, it is by your grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord. Whatever I am now, it is by your grace. Many are dying, many are perishing. Whatever I am now, it is by your grace. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. Come and say, with Jesus I can make it. Hey! With Him I know
I can stand.
No matter what may come my way,
my life is in your hands.
Help me put you the person by your side. Say, you don't have.
You don't have to worry.
Hey.
And don't you be afraid.
Joy comes in the morning, I assure you.
Joy comes in the morning.
Troubles, they don't last always.
Post and say,
God, there's a friend in Jesus.
Come on.
Who will wipe your tears so away?
Hey, hey!
And if your heart is broken,
just lift your hands and say,
just lift your
send that Abakaya. Say, oh,
I know that I can make it. Know that
is a prophetic moment. The Bible says that 5,000 hungry people were in front of Jesus and only 5 loaves of bread were available. Instead of crying, instead of complaining, the Bible says he lifted up the bread and gave thanks. What is that small thing in your life that you've ignored, you've been complaining about? I want you to say, Lord, at least I'm alive. I may not be married yet, but at least I'm marriable. At least I've not lost my mind. I may want a better job, but somehow I never go a day without eating. God, I give you the praise and the glory. I'm letting you know, listen, the power of God is moving like never before. Because every depression, every heartbreak is falling off your shoulder right now. Come on, this is an invitation to a personal praise break. Praise the Lord and say, I'm still alive. The devil thought I would die, but I'm still alive. David said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. I'm alive. I'm alive. Listen to me. You see, one day I was in the Lekki church, what we now call our VI church, and one young man was walking in. As he walked in, I saw a dark cloud over his head. Now, in the prophetic, when I see that, I know what it means. It means that the devil is telling someone lies. And as the person continues to believe the lies, that cloud will continue to grow bigger and bigger until it overwhelms the person like a weight. It becomes depression. It becomes oppression. Sometimes the devil is telling you lies, making you not to see what God is doing in your life. See, you at your age, you ought to be here. You ought to be. Now you've lost your peace. Lost your peace. But every burden is lifted up from your shoulder. There is a type of anointing a lot of people don't know about. It's the oil of gladness. I still have joy in chaos. Come on.
I've got peace that makes no sense.
Come on.
And I won't be.
Joy in chaos. Peace that makes no sense. Just squeeze the hands of the person by your side. sembre takapo presondre capele tokos lembre setele copiria les sombre setiga lembre tekepos. The oil of gladness, a prophetic optimism, just the grace to forge ahead, knowing haletombre teke. The Bible says the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter, brighter and brighter. Right now, I rebuke every discouragement, and in the name of Jesus, I prophesy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Feel free to lift the person by your heart, by your side, and give God a shout.
Say, he won't
run around, run around. Glory, run around.
He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't fail.
Thank you, Lord. Kappa Haya. Glory to God. We give you the praise and the glory. Thank you, good God. Do you trust him with your life? I've proven him. He can be trusted. He can be trusted. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We receive this word with thanksgiving. We are not just motivated. We are doers of your word. For we know. We know. I said, we know that all things work together for good. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Please be seated. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.